The following podcast contains language that is not suitable for everybody.
This week on Super Skull, just go with it, man. Don't think about it. Just go with it. It's 2015. Fuck off.
Wait, don't put fuck off in there.
No, do it.
Welcome to Super Skull. Listen, here we are. It's the end of the year. I'm here with Curtis Sullivan.
That's true, you are. I'm here.
I'm here with Marcus Schumer.
I am also here.
My name is Nick Weibar. Welcome to Super Skull. Who cares? So this is our year-end wrap-up.
Part two.
Part two, because why? Why are we doing it? What is it, part two? What does that mean?
Yesterday, we did this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And due to technical difficulties, it got erased.
So can I tell you what? Here's my vision for yesterday.
I'm ready.
I was like, so all year round, how many producer Rachel Polk?
Yes.
How many podcasts have we done this year?
Including one shots.
Yeah.
72. I believe.
Meticulously crafted pieces of audio gold.
Correct.
I would agree with that.
Every week
assessment.
Plus 20. Really? Wow, that's a lot. And what we would have done if we were smart is we would have, we recorded two podcasts last week.
Yeah.
One was our normal episode and the other one was a best of the year thing. And if we were smart, what we should have did was put out that best of the year thing and just played it this week.
So what you're saying is what we should have had done is just like put it on ice and then played it this week and then we'd all not be here right now.
And then we'd all not be here right now.
Smart plan.
And that's what we should have did. We didn't. Because of why, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then we realized we can't just skip a week. We've hit every single week. We've not missed a podcast year.
Not
it's
one.
In our DNA.
It's in our DNA. We have to do it.
Yep.
So I had a dream for what we were going to do on this podcast. And I imagined, like, let's just do a free form. Let's just, like, do some jazz improvisation.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be, like, this beautiful, just back and forth, free-flowing thing. We're going to have no timers. We're going to have no format.
No timers.
We're barely going to talk about comics. We're just going to riff.
Wow.
Can we riff?
We can. I mean,
but what happened?
I don't know.
It
was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
It was okay. We were talking about all kinds of weird shit, and I think we gave Rachel Polk a nosebleed is what we determined.
And then at one point,
yes.
At one point, producer Rachel Polk, just her nose started bleeding out of just like as a visceral response to how shitty we were doing.
It was. So
I felt like an anime character at that moment.
It was rough.
Yeah, it got all over my computer.
So it didn't work.
Nope.
And then, as if like it's like Mark Maron's spirit came in and deleted the podcast for us. Like the podcast gods just descended on the studio and said no. And our podcast was deleted.
Yeah.
It's gone.
So here we are doing
it was like a blood ritual. It was some like elder magic and shit. But no, it's for the best.
Yeah. So here we are. Last podcast of the year. Uh-huh. Episode number 72. I'm so pleased to be with you guys.
Same with you.
Super Skull is a weekly New Comic Day audio digestive biscuit.
It is.
And it is, we talk about comics every week.
And sometimes we talk about tattoos on penises.
Oh.
And occasionally we talk about digestive biscuits.
Well, we're going to talk about digestive biscuits today.
We are? You want to preview that?
Sure. Well, we just had a really interesting conversation this morning.
Really interesting is a stretch, I think, but
I found it fascinating.
Are we having the jazz riff right now? Is it happening
right
now?
I'm trying. I was working with your jazz reference.
It's beautiful.
Nick,
this is my question.
Yep.
I've been watching the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't think that British people know what a biscuit is.
It's a catch-all.
I don't want to throw huge generalizations all the British people, but they call like seven or eight things biscuits.
It's true.
It's the catch-all, is what you're saying.
A biscuit is a cookie.
Yep.
A biscuit is a cracker. A biscuit is what I think a biscuit is.
What we here in North America think of as a biscuit.
Yeah, I think a biscuit is like an iPod. I think that they also call that a biscuit.
Really?
Can you guys explain to me? Can you guys give me a definition?
Well, I lived in the UK for a grip.
Oh, weird. That's right.
Yeah, spent some time
Oh, you were out there like spelunking and like cliff diving.
And going to school. Yes.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And the only biscuit that I had like an encounter with, other than like tea biscuits, is what's called the digestive biscuit.
Oh, so this is like another thing. Okay.
It's like a very popular, you get these packages of digestive biscuit.
Mm-hmm. What did you call it? Like a cord of them? What was it? It was like,
it's like a sleeve.
A sleeve.
Sleeve of digestive biscuits.
Yeah.
And you have one with your meal, your end time meal. And it helps you digest.
Your dinner, you're saying. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The wrong thing to do is think that a digestive biscuit gets its name from like some old-timey World War II thing and that it's really just a cracker. Not the case.
It's not just a cracker.
No, so when you
But it was cracker-like.
It was like a vanilla wafer in consistency, but not in flavor.
See, this is like a new type of biscuit.
Yeah, it's wafer, yeah. Do not eat an entire sleeve of digestive biscuits.
What happened to you?
They're very high in fiber.
And they are for the pooping, is what...
There was some pooping.
Okay.
There was a lot of pooping. Yeah, so that's the only biscuit... I mean, like, I would have crackers with tea and shit.
Uh-huh.
You get, like, a tea plate, you have crackers and stuff, and those sandwiches. Were biscuits. Yeah, it probably were.
So you guys don't... Do you guys have a definition for me?
No, I don't, because... So, when I started hearing of biscuit, I always thought cookie, like mm-hmm. a lightly sweet cookie. But, you know, the Japanese food, paki?
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
It's described as a biscuit also.
That's also a biscuit!
It's also a biscuit. Those little sticks... That have the chocolate or the green tea or the almond.
Can we just
stuff?
Google?
My mind is
biscuit
snapping
what
like
comes
a
up?
Biscuit right now.
So, yeah. So I, for me, when I hear the word biscuit,
yeah,
two things. It's like fluffy southern biscuit with like meat gravy.
Yeah,
sure.
Or it's a lightly sweetened British cookie.
Those things are so different.
Totally opposite.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they should have, like, just make up a... Can we get another name?
Do we write
sausage gravy on Pocky.
No.
You cannot do
no.
that.
Do you know? Have you ever tried?
No, but I mean, I'm going to go on record and say, I mean,
do we
not.
Write Mary Berry?
I'm going to write Mary Berry a letter with my hand.
Can we just, like, tweet at her? What do you think?
I don't think Mary Berry uses Twitter. I would be very surprised.
She strikes me as a modern woman.
So one of the reasons that we're talking about biscuits so much is that the end of the year is not a really heavy week for comics.
Not at all.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of stuff that came out this week.
Very little.
And then a bunch of the stuff that we did get in the comic shop, Vault of Midnight, comic books and stuff,
yep.
established 1996,
uh-huh.
it won't release until next week.
There was a mess up from the printer.
I don't think it was a mess up.
No, it's just them trying to be
they
clever.
Do that every year.
They're
trying
stupid.
To get ahead of the game.
Yeah.
The email. Okay, doesn't matter.
So you guys want to like talk about what did come in?
Sure. There's some good ones.
Just for the record, I don't care if we do or not.
Okay. Let's totally do it. We'll just rip through them.
If we could talk about no comics, and I'd be fine with it.
Let's start off though with our book of the month because we're about to launch into a new month and a new year.
What's our book of the month for January?
This is a book called Black Sad, mm-hmm. Amarillo,
mm-hmm.
which is a place in Texas. Black Sad is sort of a crime noir series starring the lead character, Black Sad, who is like, what is he? Black Panther? What is he?
He is...
Some sort of cat?
He's like a big suave cat.
Does he have a tail?
He wears pants.
Yep.
So if he has a tail, that's between him and his god.
I see.
Yeah, this book is Juan Diaz Canales and Juanjo...
Guarnido.
Guarnido. Mm-hmm. Nice. Nick, you're good at that.
Thank you.
This book is the shit. This is a series of books. It's got a long, great history. It like came out for a little while, years and years ago. It was never finished.
Let's see. So this was Spanish language originally, Black
sounds,
Sad?
Sounds right.
Maybe I'm going to look that up and not just say fucking mouth garbage.
Yeah, do that. Let's look it up. Hold on. I'm going to cough.
The series was originally translated from its original French and Spanish into... Bulgarian, Catalan, Chinese, Croatian, Danish, Dutch, Czech, English, Finnish, German, Greek, Italian, Japanese, Norwegian, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, Siberian, Swedish, and Turkish.
Wow.
And then English.
I think you made some of those up, but nevertheless.
Catalan.
That's how you know it's a pretty good book.
That's right.
Is that they took the time.
To translate it into all the languages of the world.
Yep.
It's won a bunch of awards. It looks like it's won two Eisner wins, three nominations. It won the Angoulême Prize for Best Art.
What is that?
Which is super awesome comics festival over in Europe that's been going for years and years. So, yeah. It's a fancy award-winning book with great art. It's crime fiction. You should totally check this out.
Can you describe the art to me?
It's like a watercolor?
It is.
Yeah. So, but a very fine watercolor. It's very detailed. So even though watercolors tend to make you think maybe loose, right? This is really tight. This is watercolors over pencils and inks.
And they are, the world of Black Sad is populated by anthropomorphic people.
It is.
They're all different animals that think they're people.
Yeah.
And they're all snappy dressers. We're in full, like, crime noir.
Yeah, what year are we in here? Like, late 50s?
Yeah, it's, like, just after the big one.
The W Deuce?
Yeah, I think. I think that's the zone that we're going for.
It is. In 50s America, here we go.
50s America.
Yep. Are there any humans in the Black Sad universe, or are they all animals?
All animals.
All animals.
And yeah. The cool thing is, the rest of the world's totally on point. The only thing that's not, you know, as we know it in the real world, is the animal people.
Interesting.
This is a book that we talked about, I think, way back that kind of got me on the anthropomorphic train more. Where I was like, oh, I get this. Because all the characters are kind of, their personality types are kind of like relevant to the critter they are.
Sure.
The snake guy is a...
Which is a common thing in, right?
Yeah, and it really dawned on me that it just works really well in this book. So
it's worth... reading for the art alone.
True.
But it's very, very well written. It's really good crime noir.
Yeah, if you like a good kind of classic 50s crime noir, a lot of the notes you'll see from other stuff. So,
and this is the third one in the series, but each book is a standalone book.
Correct.
So our book of the month is Black Sad Amarillo, but there also is just a book called Black Sad.
Yep.
And then there's another one called Black Sad Silent Hell.
Mm-hmm.
And any of them can be read in any order.
That's true. We picked this one because it's a nice jump on point, and it's the price is a little less.
Yeah. So it's a really good one.
So you'll love this, and then you'll get them all.
Yeah. That's Black Sad. That's our book of the month.
That's our book of the month.
It's our book of the month. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the book of the month. Get up, get up, get up.
Ian loves that. And that's a friend of
wherever he is.
The show.
My mouse.
You know what made me love freeform jazz?
Talk to me.
The pause menu of Gran Turismo 1 on the original PlayStation.
Fascinating. What other comics came out this week?
Boom.
Jughead number 3 came out this week.
Uh-huh.
Man, the rebranding of Archie Comics, killing it. Killing it. Very good.
I like the way that Jughead is a man from Riverdale.
The man from Riverdale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like the man from Uncle.
He's like a spy in this one. So every episode of Jughead, he has a little fantasy in the middle of the book.
Yeah, he basically becomes like unglued.
Yeah, he's this. Yeah, exactly.
There's some traumatic food event or something. And
he gets knocked out or he takes a nap and he imagines himself as the center of some weird genre thing.
Yes.
And in this one, he's the man from Riverdale.
It's hilarious.
It's really hilarious. It's really funny. It's a funny book.
It's so funny. He shoots my dude's head off, Reggie.
And oh, yeah.
Like, how'd you know Reggie was a robot? And he was like, I was totally positive that he was a robot.
Yeah, let's move on.
Exactly. Good comic.
Lobster Johnson, one shot, The Glass Mantis came out this week.
Have you ever read any Lobster Johnson, Marcus?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I like it very much. I like all of Mike Mignola. So Hellboy was... I was into comics and doing like the traditional Marvel thing for a while, and then I got out of comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Mignola pulled me right back in after I saw the first Hellboy movie and was like, oh, this might be my shit.
Have you read BPRD?
I've read most of BPRD.
It's hard to... So for my money...
Yeah.
Maybe I've said this on record before, but I'll say it right now on the record.
Do it.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
BPRD is like one of the best ongoing books... consistently over hundreds of issues ever created by man.
If only they could collect it in a way that made sense.
It's a little complicated how they do it. There's a lot of different arcs, and they change the numbering like halfway through.
It's really
and at
dumb.
One point, there's like three or four BPRD series running concurrently.
Yeah.
So it was super hard to find out what was going on.
Yeah.
But man, is it worth it?
It's great.
Great book. Yep. Every time.
It's my jam.
And Lobster Johnson's right in that whole universe.
And they do, the Lobster's fun because they just do, this is like the second or third one shot this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just bam, one little cool little, this is, this weird dude trying to rob a museum and shootouts and Lobster Johnson shouting out justice all the time. I love that shit.
What's his tagline? He's the claw of justice.
Yeah, fear the claw.
Fear the claw.
Yeah.
I love it. So yeah, that came out this week. All New Wolverine number 3.
Does that come out this week or is that next week?
All New Wolverine's actually this week.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, this book is dope.
It's still dope. 3 issues into All New Wolverine. This is my favorite monthly Wolverine since like...
Really?
I can't even remember the last monthly just Wolverine book.
Do tell.
That's the shit, y'all. So like Death of Wolverine was good. There's been some mini series with Wolverine in the last couple years that I think are pretty cool. This shit rules. X-23 as Wolverine is the jam. The 3 clones of X-23 that she's like working with right now.
Spoiler.
Is that a spoiler?
It's a really boring spoiler if it is.
Well, anyways, they're all really, really dope. And she fights Taskmaster in this issue. Taskmaster.
Yeah. One of my favorite bad guys.
He looks pretty cool, and his power is pretty, like, overpowered, right? He can do whatever anyone can do. If he sees any superhero do whatever, he can mimic their moves, and he knows their moves before they're going to do it. So, like, yeah, you're the unstoppable killing machine, right?
Can I tell you guys a story?
Yeah.
When I was in high school, there was this homeless dude that we used to hang out with. I shouldn't say he was. I don't know that he was homeless.
Okay.
But he hung out outside a lot. And
maybe by choice, we don't know.
We don't know. And so we would go seek this dude out because, like, you know, we'd ask people to buy us cigarettes and stuff because we were derelict bums and idiots.
That sounds about right.
And there's this one dude, and this guy carried a suitcase with him. And every time we saw him, before he would buy cigarettes for us, he would open up his suitcase, and he had a series of things for us to do. He was like, you sort these papers. You color in this page of a coloring book, this loose page of a coloring book that I found. You sort these coins.
Wow.
We called him the Taskmaster.
Wow.
And every time we saw him, he had new, brand new, random ass things, and he was very serious about like doling them out to each of us in order.
That was probably the highlight of his day.
I was going to say, Nick, I feel like this dude helped you in your life.
Do you know maybe. What I mean? Yeah.
I mean, it sounds wonderful. He sounds like a wonderful dude to experience.
It was a really interesting thing. Oh, I wonder if he had any impact on my professional life.
Just saying.
Thank you, Taskmaster.
When was the last time you saw Taskmaster?
Oh, it's been 15 years.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if I hope everything's okay, Taskmaster.
I really hope, and I don't see him around town anymore.
Oh.
So, anyway, this one's for you, Taskmaster. I dedicate this episode of Super Skull to you.
That's great.
Wherever you are.
New episode, new issue of East of West, number 23. This book is okay. It's all right.
It's like...
I'm baiting you.
Yeah, it's the fucking best.
Get baited.
Yeah, it's another great issue. You know, my favorite thing about East to West is, like, the shit escalates every issue or 23 issues in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for some issue where shit doesn't get crazier. Like, one of the princes, I won't say too much, of, like, one of these kingdoms, like, betrays his whole kingdom.
Now, that's a spoiler.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm not current on it.
Well, there you go. See, so it makes no sense out of context. It's like, holy shit, though.
Yeah.
Didn't see it coming. Wow, every issue that happens in this comic.
So this is one of the things that I wanted to ask you guys about. I'm so glad we got to redo this podcast because I forgot to ask you.
Uh-huh.
So if you guys could go back, we don't have a lot of time to read stuff because every week we got to read the new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and we're so busy. So if you could... If you had your druthers and you could just go back and reread a series, what would it be? If you had unlimited time.
The next thing I'm going to reread is Batman.
You're going to reread all of Batman. How many issues in is that right now?
48.
So you're going to do the Scott Snyder stuff.
Yep.
Or are you just going to go...
47, thank you.
And you're going to go back to the roots. You're going to read Detective 27 and just go from there.
Yes. Actually, I am. So, because I got 2 really cool Batman books for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Batman Golden Age collection, which is like the first 60 issues of Batman, including Detective and Batman.
So you are going to get current on Batman.
Yeah, yeah. And then I got the Absolute Court of Owls, dude. It looks incredible. It's huge and beautiful. So that's what sparked me wanting to reread it. But I want to reread East to West, too.
I love that you got comics for Christmas. Nobody ever gets me comics for Christmas because we work in a comic shop.
That's the thing.
But I love comics.
So normally I do this asshole thing where I buy everything that I want for myself for Christmas and then wrap it up to myself like a shithead. You know?
I took a sip of coffee when you said that. You got to warn me.
It's been a couple years of me being like, oh, I'll just do whatever I want. And this year I didn't do that at all.
And you got some comics.
And I do like a normal human, be like, you know, put out your little feelers.
Yeah.
You know, a month or two out, you're like, man, I really, you know, somebody for Christmas could give me the Batman Absolute Edition.
And your people picked up on it.
And they did.
Very perceptive.
So you're essentially doing the same thing. You just don't have to wrap your own gifts anymore.
I think we all do it, though, in a way. You know, you want to get a good gift. You want to be given a good gift. You want to give a good gift.
My series, if I could go back, I've been hopping in and out of Manifest Destiny this year.
Yes.
Oh.
And I would love to go back and read Manifest Destiny.
Yeah.
Front to back.
When you read a dope book in a huge chunk,
yeah,
it's awesome.
And Manifest Destiny doesn't have lulls. There's no lull in that book series.
It's lulless.
It's just complete ass kickery from start to finish.
Well, they do that great last page every freaking issue.
Everyone,
too.
Yeah, I would love to go.
They're
back.
They're very good at writing a single issue. Uh-huh. It really does, like, cliffhanger, 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 but in a smart way.
You know, I judge every cliffhanger to Preacher still to this day.
To Garth Ennis.
Garth Ennis's run on Preacher. It had the best last page in comics for. It was 5 years of life.
Garth Ennis is good at that.
Oh, man. You know, he primes it for the next time.
I found enough.
That's good
guys.
To do.
I think Christmas list should be mandatory by law.
Go of on. What you want?
Yeah. And not for your homies or whatever, but for the people in your life that feel obligated to get you a gift, mm-hmm. you just make a list.
Five items.
Make a list. Five items.
This year, we just straight up asked everybody, like moms and dads and everybody, we're like, yo, what do you want for Christmas?
Yeah, and there could still be some surprise because you don't get them everything on the list.
Sure.
But like, it should be, I think, under penalty of death.
Wow.
Too much?
I always struggle. People are like, what do you want for Christmas? My response, nothing.
So that's a selfish answer.
But I honestly live a very simple life.
You got to participate, though.
You got to participate.
That's the thing.
But it's just clutter.
Don't do it for you. Well, then you like, what's your favorite food? Because then you know you'll eat it.
What's
you know
the
what
perfect? So the perfect. What's the perfect gift? The perfect gift is something that you would get for that you really want, but you wouldn't buy for yourself because it would seem frivolous. Like I really want that, but that would be silly for me to get that. That's the perfect thing, right?
But you would use it.
But you would use it. You want it.
You've thought about getting it.
Yeah. It always ends up to be more stuff I have to move.
Yeah, because they get you bad stuff.
Yeah. Because giving a bad gift sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And getting a bad gift.
Right.
And bad is like subjective, but it's like, I don't need this. I don't want, what am I going to do with it?
Right.
Oh, haha, it's cute, but I'm going to recycle this or give it to somebody else.
Exactly.
And I've stopped re-gifting bad gifts, by the way. There was a few years, you know, that I did that. And not bad gifts, but like whatever it was.
Yeah.
No.
Don't do that anymore.
No, if it's not good, don't re-gift it. That sucks.
I'm still coming out of the holiday wormhole a little bit. Thanks for bearing with me there. You guys.
I am still definitely in it. Still recuperating a little bit from the holiday madness.
Oh my goodness. On Christmas Eve, we were in the comic shop, you and I.
Yeah.
And I was on the raggedy edge.
Yeah.
And I saw we have a staff recommendation wall of board games.
Yeah.
And I saw Monopoly on the staff recommendation wall.
You did.
And I flew into a white hot fury that I think I like bellowed from the basement from Marcus.
Yeah. Yeah. I Nick has a voice sometimes that lets you know immediately.
No, I don't.
You do. Everyone does. Okay. Curtis does too. Everyone's got. But you know, everyone has a voice, and you know that something is displeased to them.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have this voice as well.
Yeah. No, it's natural.
Right.
Yeah.
What I heard come from the basement, I would imagine when Bilbo Baggins first met Smaug, it was something similar. I was like, oh, something has gone amiss.
Evil has awoken.
Yeah, I came downstairs and Nick was just tearing. Well, first he was like,
I tore the whole thing
he
apart.
He was like, let's look at this board game. And I was like, fuck. It's been so hectic and we're just trying to fill the gaps. Nope. But that being said, Nick redid the board game wall, left that day, and we sold a ton off of it. So it worked out really
great.
Well.
Okay. And I acknowledge now the problem was not the board game wall. The problem was me.
We were all.
I wasn't wrong.
You were not.
But the prop. But
you know,
perhaps the fury I felt was not 100%.
We were all
justified
that Christmas Eve. Everyone was on a moment's like notice to just lose their shit.
Completely flip out.
Everyone was so dry.
When you do 3 months worth of sales in a month,
yeah,
it, you know, we talk about it every year, but it's so busy in December.
It'll wear on you.
That's something I wanted to bring up, actually. I just want to say, like, I had a friend of mine who was like, hey, you've seemed down lately.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell people, if you have a friend who works in retail, and this is serious, the last month has been rough
on them. Be nice to them.
Maybe just give them some space and some alone time, because they've literally been surrounded by a million people they don't know for the last month.
Yeah, and some of those people are cranky, and you're surrounded by it.
Right.
We're not working in a coal mine or anything.
No, I don't want to have a pity party. Yeah, yeah.
But if
you've had a friend who's worked retail in the last month,
yeah,
buy them a beer.
Yeah.
They've probably earned it. So,
well, and this is the thing. Even if you have the best day ever and everybody's the best, you still talk to 400 people.
Yeah.
You've had like 400 conversations with strangers.
Right.
Like, even if they...
That's tough.
Even if each one is the best conversation you've ever had with a stranger.
Yeah, yeah, it's intense.
You got nothing left at the end of the day. You're sitting eating your dinner in silence.
Yep, you're sick of your own stupid voice. Yeah. You're sick of every stupid voice around you. Your own thoughts are just disgusting and abhorrent to you.
And you're in it so much that it's hard to turn it off.
Yeah.
Like, you're at home just wondering, like, what are the numbers? What's wrong with the game room right now?
I'm making recommendations to my cat.
I love the way Nick acknowledged that he's going a little bit Curtis with that game wall. That was one of my fond moments. I've accused Nick over the years of turning more and more courtesy.
You know?
Oh, interesting.
At that moment, it was hard. Because the first thought that I had was, oh, I'm going to kick this to the moon. Yeah. I'm going to rip this whole wall off, and I'm going to kick it to the moon.
Yes.
And that was like an involuntary animal response from my amygdala or whatever.
Yeah.
No, that'd be me back in like 1998. Like, I'll see like some fucked up thing in the shop, and I'll just pick up a vacuum and throw it down the basement stairs and explode it. Before you really have time to really think about your actions, I'll just tear a phone off the wall and throw it through the front window.
As you're destroying property, I think maybe it's important to realize that it takes all of 5 minutes to fix the board
game. Well, of course, you know it's irrational, but in the moment, you need to pun something into the heart of the sun.
I didn't smash anything.
No, you were very good about it.
But that's what my brain wants.
Look, I haven't smashed a vacuum in like at least probably going on like 9 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You that's haven't.
No,
you haven't smashed anything in a long time.
I don't know
how I would respond to that. To be completely honest with you,
it's a little unnerving.
Yeah, I put a phone through the wall once or twice.
And what brought this out?
Who? Nothing. It's bullshit. Yeah, you know. Somebody fucking, you know, didn't bag and board a comic or something. You know, just
that's it today. That's what'll do it for me today. What will die?
No.
I like to think of a customer walking up to the original shop and just like a chair going through the front door as they're coming to get some comics.
So that's East of West.
Anyways.
I should probably also apologize to Rachel Polk while we're on this train of things we did during the holidays.
Are we just all apologizing for our many transgressions right now?
I would just like to say to Rachel Polk, just real quick, I know during the week of Christmas when you're doing the Scholastic Order, I was curse, and I'm sorry.
So where's the poll? Is this the airing of grievances then is what's happening?
Yeah, where's the poll?
No, so that's why, man, so that's why the airing of grievances on Festivus, December 23rd, you're in prime position on it because you're coming to a hard boil by the 23rd of December. But now the pressure valve has been released.
That's true. You're right.
And I'm sorry to everybody about the way that I am. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I read Ringside number 2 this week from Image Comics.
Uh-huh.
And it's very good.
So, I enjoy it.
This is the story of a wrestler who is just getting out the game, and he is trying to put together a life outside of wrestling.
Yes.
It's very realistic. It's very sad. It's a little crimey.
It is.
I really like the dialogue is super snappy and surprises me a lot, which is cool. I really, really enjoy it. 2 issues in. I'm into it.
So sports stories about athletes at the end of their career really bust me up.
Why is that, do you think?
Just pro athletes. It just seems like kind of across the board, and you read stuff, and I'm sure it's not like this for everybody, but you know, pro ballers or MMA fighters or boxers, they get done with this really hard, long career, and they're physically messed up, and they don't have a lot of options left.
Yeah.
Like, this dude in this comic feels like he's on the raggedy edge. Like, stuff is not going well.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a lot to look forward to.
It's like Christmas Eve for him all the time.
Oh, man.
Yeesh. But I'll agree with you. I thought Ringside was, I didn't know if this, I was going to care about this book at all.
It's like, it's well-worn territory. Sorry, Marcus.
No, I was just going to say, there's a moment in this issue talking about like responsible gun ownership.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
You liked it? I thought that was the only part that seemed a little heavy-handed to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I've like seen people, not in the context that they presented in, but I've like seen people have that conversation about like being a responsible gun owner.
Yeah.
And that I thought it was really well written, and I've totally seen that conversation happen.
So what I did like about it, and this isn't spoiling anything, this is at the beginning of the issue. Yeah. So he, at the end of the issue one, he walks into a giant room full of guns, and it looks like oh we're about to suit up like a scene from The Matrix,
exactly.
And we're going to go start murking dudes.
Yep.
And we've seen that scene many times before, and that's where that's the cliffhanger that we're left off on. This dude's about to go wreck shop.
Yep.
And we open up on the second issue, and the owner of all those guns are like, what do you think you're doing? Yeah. Those are all registered to my name, and you're not properly trained. You can't have any of those guns.
Yeah.
And it just took a total left turn from where I thought it was going to go.
I thought it was awesome.
Which I can't think of another time I've seen that in a comic.
Me neither.
It's always the dudes just stuffing guns in every pocket and belt and... Yeah,
the stuff about responsible gun ownership left me a little flat, but the turn that they took, it was really neat.
I love the way she went about it. She like broke down the process of what it takes to buy a gun.
Yeah.
And it's quite lengthy, as it should be. And she was like, so no, absolutely not. You could not take one of these guns. Yeah. Like, it was awesome. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, that's Ringside.
Nice. Well, one last book, Rumble, we should talk about, came out this week.
Yes.
Number 10. Are you going somewhere? I thought you were going to chime in.
I got nothing. Go ahead.
This is just fucking a good comic.
This dude's got a really impressive mace on the cover. Sorry, Morningstar. My bad.
So this is another Image comic book that totally rules. It's John Arcudi on the writing.
Give me more.
James Herron.
Open it up.
Is drawn this piece.
Unpack it for me.
Yeah. It's got the best monsters. Basically, it's a straw man trying to get his soul back. An ancient warrior whose soul has been taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get it back. Set in sort of a Detroit, Michigan. These two idiots, a bartender and his, like, kind of best friend,
mm-hmm.
with a bunch of maybe pot-smoking morons.
So there are, when we first meet all the characters in this book, it's tough to care about them. I didn't think the protagonist of this book was the protagonist for a really long time.
True.
His best friend is the goofy best friend. You have no idea what's going on with this straw man creature. And they're all unfolding, and there's so much depth to all of them. The world is super rich. There's tons of stuff that I don't understand, and they feed it to you in just the right amounts.
Yep.
And the monsters are really cool.
The monsters are so freaking bizarre.
And there was
awesome.
A moment at the end of this book, they set it up about midway through, and then they pay it off at the end.
Uh-huh.
And it's as good an ending to a comic book as I've read in I don't know how long.
So what we call it? We call it like a modern fable.
Yep.
Kind of set right now.
Okay.
In a big city. A Detroit, a Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's monsters, it's magic swords, it's epic, 1,000-year-long quests.
Yep.
But it's also just living in Detroit.
Yeah.
It's so fucking cool.
It's very good. Rumble. If you're not reading Rumble, please go read Rumble.
There's a trade out. And it'll take you. You'll be like three issues in. You'll be like, this is really cool, but what? Bang. Oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this thing opens like a beautiful flower, four issues in.
Took a few issues for me to really pick up what it was putting
down.
And
it was good right out of the gate, but you're like, you know,
yeah,
it really developed. So in a kind of a light week, we still got a bunch of heat, you guys.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So if you're not going out drinking champagne tonight, consider reading some comics.
Brilliant.
That was a good accent.
So these are that's some of the stuff that came out this week.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to run through the titles really quickly. If I could, Rumble, we have Ringside number 2, we have East of West number 23, All New Wolverine, Lobster Johnson one shot, and Jughead number 3. Jughead.
That's his name.
That's how I pronounce it.
Jafed.
Jafed.
There was another book that came out this week. It's a Deadpool Cable crossover.
Uh-huh.
You want to talk about it?
I've been thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So Cable's a big character in the 90s.
Yeah. So is Deadpool.
Right. Deadpool is transferred.
Correct.
Into this era. Is Cable... Are there some characters that don't transfer well? They're like made in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't... Like, so...
You know, you think that, but then all of a sudden somebody does something with a character, right?
When's the last time Cable was done, you know?
He's been here or there, you know. He did some X-Force not too long ago.
Yeah, I was thinking
was okay.
That Rick Remender did an Uncanny X-Force thing and pulled Cable into it, and it didn't suck.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, Bishop, Cable.
I can't, to be totally honest with you, I work in a comic shop, worked there for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I confuse Bishop and Cable all the time.
Oh. Bishop's got, like, the M cut over his eye.
Mm-hmm.
So all that Age of Apocalypse stuff, I could totally leave it. It's not my era. So it's no diss to Age of Apocalypse. I'm an 80s X-Men guy, not so much of the Age of Apocalypse 90s X-Men guy, which many people are,
sounds
fine.
Sounds like a diss.
I was reading that book.
A little bit of a diss.
And Deadpool is essentially the same as he is in these modern comics.
Speaking of Deadpool, though, I'm psyched to see that movie. I'll say that now.
You are?
Yeah. So,
cool.
The trailer looks outstanding. Yeah. I can't wait.
But there's so many people that they could team up. Deadpool and Cable, like, have this thing. They go back and forth all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've been teaming up for years.
But, man, Cable is just such a dud to me as of late.
His name is Cable.
Yes.
So right out the gate, I'm like, oh, man.
He's a utility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then there's so many jokes there.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, and he's cloned, and he's got clones of himself, and he time travels, and he sees the future. It just
everybody had a glowing eye.
Yeah, it just
my favorite 90s
well.
Character was Municipal Trash.
Yeah, exactly. I was a real fan of Conduit. What's some other utility type pipe, you know?
Is there a joke there? There's got to be. Come on, guys. It's the Freeform Jazz episode of Super Skull. I still don't have a mouse, and I can't look at the next thing that I want to talk about,
which is
the best ongoing series.
Oh, that we skipped in our best of episode.
If only some magical producer would click on the results in Google Forms. Listen. We did a best of the year thing.
We did.
Last week.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm a doofus... We didn't talk about the best ongoing single-issue comic book thing, which seems like something probably that you would include. In a best comic books of the year, you would talk about the best comic book of the year.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So what did you guys think the best ongoing comic book of the year was?
Well, let me think about it for a minute. I can say the best doofus of the year, though, is definitely Nick Wybar.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
my God. I don't have anything prepared.
And the award for...
I want to thank Curtis. You taught me everything I know about being a doofus.
Ow!
But seriously, folks.
But seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Best ongoing.
Yeah.
Shit. Let's clap that. Clap that.
No, I mean, Batgirl of Burnside sticks out to me. Best ongoing.
Yeah, your nominations were Batgirl of Burnside.
Yep.
Let me see if I can remember them. Silk.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You just said that one.
Yeah, well.
And the third one...
Rebels
from Brian Wood.
Those are my nominations.
All good books.
I stand by them.
Good books all.
Yeah, you know.
Fascinating selections.
Why do you say that?
I just, they would not be on my list at all. They would not have cracked the top five, and they were really good books. That's why it was a sweet year we had in comics.
Yeah.
It's a lot of really good hard. Stuff.
I mean, they're fun.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't like fun, is your implication. Touché.
What do you like? Touché. So Nick Wybar's picks of the year. Bitch Planet.
Fuck yes.
Southern Bastards.
Yes.
And what's your third one? What's really just fucking gloomy?
It's like a curveball though, right? I mean, Nick, where do you is Kaiju Max still on your list?
It was Weird World.
Weird World, there
okay.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. A book about someone being lost and not being able to find their way.
That was a fun book. Weird World.
Fun book. It had Aqua
book.
Apes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
They were
so
ape
good.
Atlanteans.
Curtis's is Batman.
Sure.
Detective Comics Batman.
Nope.
And Batman Son of Robin Son of Batman.
No, Smarty Pants. Just Batman. It's the only Batman book that's on my favorite list.
Mm-hmm.
What you was it?
Clearly East of West and Southern Bastards.
East of West, Southern Bastards.
But maybe Rumble. We're 9 issues in. And every issue keeps getting better.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fair.
What was the winner overall, Nicholas?
Well, who can be bothered to calculate the results? You know, like I certainly can't be bothered. Like, hey, look, we got the thing here. So I got it from here, dude. So by my count, Bitch Planet is on here more than anything else.
An important book.
Without me doing any
Squirrel Girl's on there
math.
A bunch, y'all.
Squirrel Girl's on there a bunch.
Let's Squirrel Girl's a damn fine comic book.
So yeah, I love Squirrel Girl so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's Squirrel Girl will turn a bad mood into a good mood.
Yeah.
You're right.
Guaranteed.
Put a smile on your face.
Every single time.
Yep. No, it's hard because what we have here is an embarrassment of fine comics.
Yeah, it was you know, we talked about it at length, but it was a hell of a year, man.
Yeah, because look at these comics here. The Humans, that's a great comic. Descender. Is that one of the best comics of the year?
Easily.
Totally.
Autumnlands?
Yeah.
Was a knockout this year.
Miss Marvel? Are you shitting me? It's great.
Paper Girls. Loving Paper Girls.
Yep. No, there's too many good books.
Yep. If we had any one, and any other year, if we just had a couple of these.
Tokyo Ghost is a blast. The Fade Out from Brubaker and Phillips over at Image.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great book.
Yeah, so I don't know
what
the winner is.
What are we gonna pick?
I mean, obviously the correct answer is Bitch Planet.
I think we could go comfortably with Bitch Planet. I think we could agree on that.
I think it got the most votes.
Marcus, what are you going to say?
You're shaking your head on this podcast.
I would never say anything against Bitch Planet on the internet. That would be terrible.
Why? What you don't like it?
No, I think it's great. I think it's a great book. I have nothing against it.
It's got some internet buzz, but it's like legitimately dope.
No, it's a good book.
You're hedging your bets. You don't want to upset the ladies.
Speaking of upsetting people, issue number 7 is going to have like a content warning on the cover.
Whoa.
I was just reading about it this morning. It's like a one-shot kind of, but it's got an extreme content warning on the cover, and it's designed to be skippable if you cannot handle the heat.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but that's what I was reading.
So I think we have a virtual or actual tie between Squirrel Girl and Bitch Planet, is from my loose calculations here.
I love it.
Spreadsheet.
Two very different books.
They're very different books. Whole sides of the spectrum. Thanks, Vault of Midnight staff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't do this year, we didn't do a best board game or any board game categories.
Well, we didn't really get into board games. You're right.
Yeah.
And I think we're agreed that Time Stories is...
Oh, Time Stories is my game of the year.
Yeah.
For sure.
Easily my game of the
year. But my follow-ups are Codenames.
Uh-huh.
For sure. Best party game, Codenames.
Codenames is so good.
Yeah.
Deduction, wordplay.
Yeah.
Teamsmanship.
I love teamsmanship.
Grids.
Lots of grids. Was there a game you played this year, Nick, that maybe from the past that you replayed and remembered, damn, this game is good?
You know what I have here for you, Marcus? I have a list of all the board games I played in 2015.
No, really?
Yeah,
shit.
I do. Every year I keep track of this because of my problem.
Because of your list problem.
Because I wanted to do a board game a week.
That was your goal.
That was my goal. In 2015, I was going to play a board game every single week.
Wow.
I failed miserably.
How many?
That's a commitment.
How many weeks in there in a year?
There's 52 weeks in a year every single time.
How many board games did you play?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Oh, I played 20 board games.
Not bad.
20 new board games.
Sure. That's every other week. Ascent, kind of.
It's getting there. In Curtis math, it's like 3/4 of a year.
Yeah.
So what did I play this year? Star Realms.
Great game.
I forgot about Star Realms. That is such a great game. I played Sushi Go that didn't come out this year, but I played it for the first time this year. We played Quartermaster General.
We did.
Together.
The more I look back on that game,
yeah,
the more I find it...
A little lukewarm on it?
Yeah, a little lukewarm.
The Grizzled was easily one of the best things I played all year. The
Grizzled is a very unique gaming experience, for sure.
Yeah. It's a good year for board games.
Yeah, good year for board games.
So where does Sherlock Holmes, the simpering detective...
I don't think we had enough booze to play that game. Can I say that?
I think you want... Yeah, I think we were not drunk enough, yep. And we weren't able to finish. I would love to play that game again. It's a particular group that you got to play it with, too.
I see.
What is it, Marcus? You got to quit making facial...
It's a dick thing. I didn't want to bring it up on the... I had a dick joke in my head.
Hit me with your dick... with your dick joke.
You said, like, we didn't drink enough. And I didn't finish, and there was a finishing alcohol joke that I was going to make. Yeah. The games that I didn't get to play this year that I want to play.
Yeah.
Mysterium.
Mysterium. Everybody loves Mysterium.
Did not get a chance to play it. Yeah. That's definitely on my list. Pandemic Legacy.
Oh, right.
Is on my list.
Right.
Absolutely. And then, it just came out. Champions of Midgard was like this under the radar game that is Viking themed.
Mm-hmm.
You love Vikings.
I do. And it got some internet buzz, and I just haven't had a chance to play yet.
Everybody went totally banana nuts over the Dead of Winter game last year, and I wanted to play it all year and didn't get to play that.
It's finally available. Yeah. We can stock it finally again. I would love to play Dead of Winter. Yeah, people have, and it didn't die down. It was one of those ones where it came out and everybody was going crazy, and you couldn't get it. So you wonder, is everybody going crazy because you can't get it?
Yeah.
And then it came back, and everybody's still digging it.
Board games are weird like that. So, Dead of Winter held through.
Yep.
It was hot, and it stayed hot.
Yeah.
But then, the game that I swore was going to be game of the year, Sheriff of Nottingham. And that game is...
Died right down.
Died right down. Almost to nothing. Yeah.
NBD. NBD.
By Codenames. It's a great game.
And there it is.
What was the worst thing you guys read all year?
We talked about this.
We talked about it on a podcast that is not.
That doesn't exist. Yeah, I hated Bloodstrike so much.
It has a title that just defies you to remember it.
Yeah. Rob Liefeld brought back one of his old shit comics.
We talked about it at length this year. It's harmful to all of us.
Yeah, normally bad can just be bad and it's fine.
Uh-huh.
I found this book to be so particularly bad that some action should be taken.
What would you do if you were king?
I would ban Rob Liefeld from producing comics.
He's just not allowed.
Just you can't make it.
You just can't do it.
You can't go within 500 feet of a pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hate all goodness in the world. Clearly, every time you pick up a pencil, it's an act of war against humanity itself. It's offensively bad.
What about you, Marcus?
They did a Sherlock Holmes versus Houdini. I think IDW did it, or Dark Horse, one of the two.
You hated that comic.
Why that one so much? Why did that bug you so much? You had high hopes?
Not particularly. I was just going through it, but it's everything that was wrong with comics. All the women were essentially pinups. They were just there for eye candy. And this story just sucked. It was bad writing.
I remember the art just being crappy, too.
Yeah. Sherlock Holmes would meet Houdini, and he'd be like, Holmes. And then Holmes would look at him and be like, Houdini. And they'd be like, next scene. It's like,
you're right. That doesn't sound cool.
It does nothing. It was terrible. Huh. That and Loki, Agent of Asgard ended, so I can't shit on that book anymore.
Oh, right, you did. You hated that book.
I do not like it.
That's right.
No.
That being said, a book that I used to shit on quite a bit, Wayward, I gave it a reread.
It's not bad.
It's not my favorite, but it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. Yeah. So sometimes,
There you go.
Give it a second look.
That's the thing. Sometimes you're in a bad mood.
Co-owner of Vault of Midnight.
That's true. You're tired.
Yeah, co-owner of Vault of Midnight, Steve Fidelli, was reading that book.
Wayward?
Yeah, and I was like, if Steve's reading it, I should probably give it a second look. And it wasn't that bad.
Sometimes a second look is not a bad way to go.
Nick, what was your least favorite book of the year?
It begins and ends with The Sculptor by Scott McCloud.
Mm.
You hate this book.
It's viciously bad. One of my favorite things to do is text with Carolyn Nowak.
Who's she?
She is an artist on Lumberjanes. She does a lot of self-published stuff. She's soon to be your favorite comic book artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she's totally awesome and hilarious. And one of my favorite things to do is to text with Carolyn sporadically about how much we both hate The Sculptor.
By Scott McCloud. That book, though, is a New York Times bestseller.
It is everybody's...
The New York Times really liked it.
It's in everybody's book of the year list. It's on everybody's... And that's what... So let's not mince words.
Sure.
It is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
The Sculptor.
Uh-huh.
It is actively hacky, pretentious, simple... Bad. It's a bad book.
Yeah. I want to finish rereading it.
I want you to because I want to talk to you.
I read
about
the first third of it and it was a chore.
So I think everybody that works in comics should read that. It's a really important book because people are going to come to this book as their introduction to comics.
Which is a shame.
Because it's a New York Times bestseller.
Because it's Scott McCloud. So Scott McCloud wrote Understanding Comics, which is it's a breakdown kind of academically about the form of comic books. How panels work, how to read a comic, what a comic does that other mediums can't do.
Yeah.
He wrote this in the 90s, mm-hmm. early 90s.
Yeah.
And it's great. Understanding Comics is wonderful. Have you read this, Marcus?
Yep.
Understanding Comics?
Yep. Book of the Month.
I have huge trouble with everything he's done after that, though.
I'm not a big fan of Zot, to be honest with you, which was his fiction thing.
Yeah,
from
so it's like,
that.
It's okay. Yeah.
But his nonfiction stuff, his stuff about the form, he totally gets it. And he's really smart when he talks about it. But because of Understanding Comics and how huge that book is, something like it's a pretty big event when Scott McCloud comes out with a new book. He hadn't come out with anything in a long time.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is he's not pushing out material.
No, he comes out with something very, and this is a big ass 300-page tome.
Yep.
And purporting to be about everything life is about, you know? And it sucks because it's what people think serious comics are capable of because there's a big name behind it. And that's as bad as what Rob Liefeld does to me. So Rob Liefeld is very exploitative and stupid, and it's that side of comics.
Right.
Right? It's the baby brain of comics. And Scott McCloud is the pretentious, professorial, know-it-all side of comics.
Without and I'm going to be mean, but without the talent or skill to back it up.
Absolutely. Those are the two poles against which people think about comics. They think like it's either a froofy, pretentious graphic novel, or it's Bloodstrike, boobs, and chopping heads off or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's the worst comic.
And there's so much good stuff out there.
And there's so much amazing, nuanced stuff coming out, and more than ever right now. And the fact that the sculptor sucks up so much oxygen is a bummer to me.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it had it came and went, and I didn't pay much attention to it. I tried reading it, and I just ignored it. But the fact that it's on lists and stuff is...
I mean, go online and check out...
I hate that.
Check out the love that this book gets. It is baffling to me. And I'm not just trying to, shit on the book all day long.
Right.
And I only talk about it because I do think it matters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I listened to a really good podcast about it. Comic Books Are Burning in Hell, which is a bunch of dudes talking shit about comics.
So
they had a really smart breakdown of everything that was wrong with the sculptor.
You said an hour and a half of them
just
shitting
on this book.
Did you have a smile on your face?
I loved it.
I will
be
listening to that this afternoon.
Please do.
Well, we're doing best of the year,
mm-hmm.
real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to. Well, maybe I don't want to do. We don't have time. We don't have time. I was going to say best. We did. Just real quick. Best video game of the year. Mixing it up.
What was the best video game you played this year, Marcus?
Mine was the StarCraft expansion.
Yeah. I'm asking you right now.
Oh, it's the StarCraft expansion. It's the end of the new trilogy of StarCraft.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Terran first, the Zerg second. Now we're finishing off the Protoss. Those are all races in the game.
You dug it.
I'm neck deep in it, and I'm loving it. It's great. I will say a close second, Space Lovers. Just because of the...
It's called Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time.
But we call it Space Lovers.
And we call it Space Lovers because me and Marcus, we ask each other, hey, do you want to be Space Lovers tonight? And then we play that game together.
Yeah.
The name Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time is one of the best titles to
anything that
I've ever heard, ever.
Yeah.
So StarCraft is great because it's kind of a solitary storytelling experience. That's what Blizzard does really well. They have great multiplayer as well. But Space Lovers is wonderful because the game essentially requires that you share the experience with another person.
Yeah, and it's heavily cooperative. You cannot do it alone. And if one person's not pulling their weight,
you're fucked.
You are doomed in space.
Yeah.
You're going to die in space.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Curtis, what was your favorite video game?
My favorite video game was Fallout 4.
That was a really good Curtis.
No, that was Curtis. What are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's true. It is my favorite game.
Was it really?
Yeah. I'm playing it the
more
most.
More than Batman?
And I think about it the most. Batman's right there. Arkham Knight was fabulous. I played it so much.
More than Duck Dynasty.
Well, Duck Dynasty was dog shit, and we only played that because I love dog shit games.
Yeah, that was a blast.
We had a great time.
I find that as
I love shitty games. That's
get
a secret.
Older, I find the games that I enjoy the most are those that I can share with someone else.
Yeah, and when you're laughing, the human emotion of laughter is very powerful. You know what I mean?
I do, yes.
And laughing heartily with good friends.
Yeah. So, you like, know? This is why I haven't bought Fallout yet.
Oh.
Because I'm afraid I won't like it.
There's not much laughing in Fallout.
Well, it's not
there's zero laughing.
It's just like there's no sharing of that game.
Right.
True.
And I don't know if I would be down with that anymore.
It is very solitary.
Yeah.
You just wander through a wasteland and try not to die and murder everything.
Yeah.
You just become a murder god.
You do. And people try to talk to you while you're playing it, and I can't hear
it's
words
just
from humans. I'm just in
yeah.
the wasteland.
Do you guys have any goals or plans for 2016 as we enter the new year?
Yeah, what's the thing? What sweet thing are you guys gonna do in 2016? You're gonna do one sweet thing.
I'm gonna take a week off work,
please.
And I'm gonna gut my whole house and clean it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. What else?
I'm gonna rip all the clothes out of my.
What are you gonna do in 2016? You've never done before in your life.
That I've never done before.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I know it's been a really long time your life, and it's hard to find new stuff.
Sure.
It's been
I've done
so
it all.
Long.
You know.
What's it going to be?
In a journey this long, what's left?
Do you want to go do some extreme sports with me?
Not at all.
No?
No.
Not at all?
But, you know,
you don't want to jump off of something?
No.
As someone who's bungee jumped, it's a very cleansing experience.
You know, I ride a bike somewhere with you, my dude. Like an extremely ride a bike.
That's something that we've never done before. You and I will ride a bike together.
Yeah.
Can it be tandem?
No.
No. I don't want to do that at all.
I'm gonna put a wood floor into Nick's new place.
Yeah,
that's gonna happen. Also, I would like to. I've never done this before. I LARP very locally.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to travel for a LARP.
Now,
this
let
year.
Me ask you this: international LARPing.
So the biggest LARP event in North America is in Quebec. It's called Bicola. Mm-hmm. I would love to go. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do it this year because it's pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to go to Bicola.
I feel like you'd like to LARP in the Scottish Moors.
I mean,
like
European.
Wow, yeah,
European
I want to do that.
Yeah, European LARP is a totally different level. I don't know if I'm ready for it.
Is it really?
Oh, it's intense.
Because that's where real dragons come from?
Exactly.
Okay.
But yeah, I think this year I'm going to try to travel to a different state for a LARP.
Mm-hmm.
And I am actually seriously looking forward to putting in a wood floor with Nick Weibar.
It's going
to
be fun.
I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, that's something I've never done.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about bungee jumping and stuff. Contractually, I don't know if Marcus should be able. There has to be some sort of rules about extreme sports. And
for Marcus
for
particularly?
Marcus in particular.
You worried about him?
Well, yeah, let's be honest.
What? I've already done it. It's already happened.
Yeah, but now that we have planned out the rest of your life.
I see.
Right.
We need to make sure that you'll be alive to.
Yeah.
These are pretty good
these
goals,
plans.
You guys.
Well, yeah. How about you? You haven't.
I'm gonna hunt a man.
Yes. What are you actually gonna do in 2016?
He will continue to rep his city.
Yeah, get money.
Get money.
Rep my city. It's the first of the month. Other rap lyric. I want to listen to a lot more rap in 2016.
Okay.
Like what? Like contemporary new rap? You're gonna seek out?
Yep. I fell off my game.
Strange new worlds.
We have a. Our sometime contributor to the podcast, Ian, is my rap guru.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps me up on game.
That's
and
you can trust Ian.
And I just haven't been hitting him up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like I used to, and that's on me.
Right.
So
gonna reach out to your rap guru.
Yep. Exactly. Get back in touch.
Yeah.
With what's going on. It's not a giant living in the hillsides. Hip hop. You know what's up with hip hop? What's up with you?
It's true. You're right. It's there for you. It's there for the taking.
Know what I'm talking about right now.
And the fourth man of this podcast, Richard Polk, you have any goals for 2016?
Do more comics. Read more comics. LARP.
Those are good goals.
Yeah.
No nosebleeds.
No nosebleeds.
Nosebleeds free in 2016.
And make the best motherfucking podcast ever.
Woo!
Yeah.
Can't argue with that. You know what I really want to do in 2016 more than anything else? I want to open a new comic shop.
Yeah. You're right.
I think we should do that.
I hope we can pull it all together.
Remember when we teased an announcement very soon a month ago?
Fuck. We thought it was there.
An announcement is coming very soon. Stay tuned.
It's like I've been teased so many times, Nick.
Exactly. You love it, though.
I do kind of actually like it.
You love the tease.
The long tease.
It's the long tease.
Yep.
You guys want to change the name of our podcast to The Long Tease?
Ooh.
Think about it. Don't say no. Okay, think about it.
Okay.
Would that just be bullshitting the entire podcast until like the last 5 minutes when you actually talk about
it? Let's
content?
Be honest. We bullshit the entirety of every podcast.
That's true.
And speaking of which, we just bullshitted another hour of your life away.
Wow.
Oh, man, I'm so glad we got to do this podcast again. This was very approximate to the Freeform Jazz podcast that I wanted.
You're feeling better about this one.
I feel so good about
it. Yeah.
Nice.
It's just what I wanted.
Nobody bled, and it all went swimmingly.
I haven't thought about the Taskmaster in years. Oh, I thought I dreamed him.
No, the Taskmaster was real.
He's real.
And he had a profound impact on your life.
It was thank you for an amazing year, the listener. Thank you for giving a shit and for checking out our podcast. I really hope in January to I think we want to do a big push for listeners in January. I've got some plans. I've got some things I'm thinking.
You're telling the listener.
I'm telling the listener, and because we're going to need your help.
I see.
We're going to need some backup on that. We're also going to be launching a Patreon in January.
Yep.
Some other cool things afoot. But I don't want to I don't want to miss another week ever. Let's do 2016 and continue to not miss a single week of podcast.
I'm with you. It's going to be hard if we open a new store. It's going to be hard, but we're going
to
do it.
We have to want it.
I want it. Like today, I'm supposed to be on the couch right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I will go do the podcast with these dudes.
Get up, idiot.
So, that's how much I want it.
So, thank you. Thank you for 2015. And thank you to my co-hosts. I love you both.
Love you too.
Right back at you, Nick.
Our producer and editor is Rachel Polk. Our music was created by A-Bomb. All of our art and design is created by Philip Wong. Very special thanks to the Ann Arbor District Library for also this year allowing us this space and for use of their podcast studio.
Please subscribe to Super Skull on iTunes and leave us a dope review. It's important. That's how people find us.
It doesn't even have to be in-depth. You can just go on there and tell us what your favorite cape is.
5 stars. I love short pants.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and you can find us on our website, superskullshow.com.
Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff and podcasts since 1996. Happy New Year, you dudes. My name is Nick Weibar.
I am Marcus Schwimmer.
And I'm Curtis Sullivan.
And we wish you very good reading until next year.
That was good. I was going to do the next year, too. I was going to mix it up, too.
Until next year, because that's like tomorrow.
Do you remember that? Remember our awesome talk about dick tattoos?
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a baby giraffe.
A baby pony. man.
That's the best thing. A little baby animal.
I'm God. A dick.
Dang it, that's the worst. You can just get just anything cute. You just get like a little, like you get
like a big-eyed seal.
Yeah, you get like the monkey from like, you know, BJ and the Bandit. It's like a goofy orangutan. Right on your schlong. Oh, God.
What is that? That's adorable. Who is that?
What's my baby orangutan? His name's Hank.
God damn it.
It's a conversation piece.
Well, and here's the thing, right? So now I'm getting inspired. I don't know if I told you guys about how like you only have one dick, right? Well, most of us do. And so once you get your baby orangutan on your dick, done.
Yeah, you did it.
No more. You can't put any more cute baby animals on your dick because you're done. It's filled up.
You could get like a menagerie, so you could treat it like a Noah's Ark.
Yeah, you can really arc your dick up.
But now hear me out. What if you got a photorealistic tattoo of your dick
on your dick
somewhere else, like say on your thigh, because you had a couple more perfect, cute little baby animal dick tattoos that you wanted to,
and then you also want the original, the ideal.
Yeah.
Pre art.
Pre
so you can do like before and after, and they're side by side.
Yeah. I think we're onto something, you guys.
What's your dick spirit animal?
My, I have no idea. I can only ever think of a rose. So
I'd your dick.
Oh, because of Painless John.
Because of Painless John, who's a guy I know who did my first tattoos, who actually had his cock tattooed.
My favorite part about that story, and I've heard it many times and I love it every single time, is that he carried around a laminated picture.
Of his cock.
Of his cock. Because, like, it's got to be, you only get one chance to show it as good as it can be.
No, it was lit properly when they took the photo, you know?
Yeah. So.
It's a good shot.
Laminated.
Yeah, you're going to want to preserve that.
You got to take that shit to Kinko's.
Hi, can you laminate my dick, please?
I need this forever.
Yeah.
Is that dude still around somewhere? Or is he passed?
Oh, I'm sure he's passed. Yeah, he was like 115 when he was giving us tattoos.
Oh, fuck.
Back in 1990. Yeah.
Was it actually painless?
It was not painless for us. That was his joke.
Oh.
Because I don't feel a thing, is what he would say.
Oh, that's right. That's brilliant.
Pretty good, right?
That's really good.
Nick, who did your first tattoo?
My tattoo. A samurai tattoo.
Oh.
Samurai. 18 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows what kind of dude you're going
to
be?
Oh, yeah. You know, you go to a place called Painless John with a little tattoo on illegally on underage children, and you're just picking. I'm picking just flash off the wall. You know what I mean?
I want that one.
Yeah.
That's speaking to me in this moment.
What?
What did you pick?
The fuck? I got an Oriental dragon.
Oh, that's that one.
And yes, I'm not like you have to say Oriental because
was the Oriental dragon before the knife?
Oh,
dagger
oh yeah, that was like 2 weeks later. I was like, I love this so much. I'll go throw a dart at the wall again and get whatever forever.